You know, in the world we live in today, many people are searching for identities, and they really trying to figure out who they really are. And then, you know, people identify with all kinds of things, some with their problems, some with career. But a good way to find out who a person really is to listen at them talk. You know, I statements really reveal things about an individual. I am, of course, when you say I am, you're referring to the person. I can, you're referring to performance. I have, you're referring to possession. I like refers to your preferences. I remember refers to the past. These kind of statements really sort of identifies a person. And some of these are not bad. But the big problem, all of these things can change. You know, what you need to find out is your identity in something that never changes no matter what happens in life. You need to understand how important it is for you to learn who you are in Christ. What you have in Christ. What you can do in Christ. This is one of my favorite subjects, the realities of who we are in Christ, our redemptive realities, they call it. It's an important subject because until you understand who you are in Christ, you cannot receive any of the benefits from the Word of God, understanding who you are. Now, let's go back to basics. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You don't personally experience salvation until you believe in your heart that Christ rose from the dead, and you confess him as Lord and Savior with your mouth. All the spiritual realities that you can experience actually depends upon what you believe in your heart and what you say with your mouth. The same as you use to receive salvation. Believing in your heart, speaking with your mouth. How many of you have done that? Yes. You know, now I want to look at some things about being in Christ. The first step is becoming convinced in your heart that your true spiritual identity is in Christ. Now, some people focus on their natural identity, and that's right. We do have a natural identity. But do you notice our natural identity changes as we go through life? We were once a child, and then we were adolescent, and then we're supposed to be adults. And then some people change from being single to being married. Some people are successful in their occupation, but that all changes if you retire or you change occupations. You see, our focus needs to get to our spiritual identity in Christ. It will change everything. You see, that never changes. Other things change. having an understanding, your spiritual identity will stabilize you and strengthen you in your Christian walk. Actually, identifying who you are in Christ really controls your spiritual destinies. So, we need to read and study the Word of God until we are convinced in our heart of who we are in Christ. You know, Psalms 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." God wants all of the redemptive realities that belongs to us operating in our lives. He wants us to understand that, you know, a lot of people talk about, oh, when we all get to heaven, it's going to be great. Well, yeah, it is. But, hey, we're down here right now, and we have a life to live, both in the natural and in the spiritual. And you know what? Your natural life really depends on your spiritual life. Come on now. Because of what you understand and begin to know what you have on the spiritual side transforms into the natural. All right. Let's look at this. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Now, wait a minute. I can do all things. That's not talking about spiritual. It is, but it's not, didn't say spiritual thing. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Then that is one of the realities of being in Christ. He gives you strength. He gives you understanding, know-how to do whatever it is in life that you have to face or you have to deal with. I mean, if people would really get understand this, and you do it by reading the Word and then meditating on it, thinking about it, and continually repeat it. Now, you have to be fully persuaded on the in Christ scriptures. You know, it just doesn't work for you because you've heard it. You've got to be fully persuaded that it's for you. There's a big difference between hearing somebody talk about something and you becoming totally convinced that it will and can and does happen in your life. You know, the things in the Word of God only become a reality to us when we truly, really believe it and are convinced of it. Now, you can mentally agree and say, oh, yeah, I believe the Bible. But that is not totally believing what the Word says. Because you say a lot of times, a lot of people say some things and they don't totally agree with it. They don't even really believe it. They're just saying it to appease somebody. Come on now. You know, a lot of people talk about in life, especially in sports, they say, man, I'm a winner. You know what? You can tell by the way they're saying it, and you can tell by the way that they walk off of the field whether they really believe they're a winner or not. You know, if you're walking off the field after a bad play and your head's down, that you're right there. You're beat right there. You got to be, you know, I mean, I played sports, and sometimes I would get beat on a play or something, and man, I would come by and say, hey, I'm better than that. And I would tell the guy, like if I was on defense, back, defensive back, I said, hey, you better be glad you caught that one because that's the last pass you're going to catch today. And I had my head up and I had a bite in my voice because I truly believed that. When you truly believe something, you got a different tone in your voice. You got a different attitude about you. Come on now. Yeah. You know, sometimes when us guys, sometimes we get in a situation, the first thing we do, man, we square our shoulders and we get that strut. Hey, don't mess with me. Come on, guys. Come on. Hey, am I telling the truth? Why? Because you believe it. Come on. You got to get that way in your spiritual life. Because the enemy is coming at you with everything that he has. He wants to destroy you. John, it says that. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Hello. And he's going to walk into your life. And until you're convinced of who you are and stand up straight and tall and get your voice, hey, Mr. Devil, you know who I am? Hello. I preached a message just here a few weeks ago. Does the devil know your name? Remember over there? The devil in the man that they was trying to cast out, they said, we cast you out in Jesus' name whom Paul preaches. And the devil said to him, hey, Jesus I know and Paul I know, who are you? See, you got to know it and believe it before it's ever going to work. You know, at first sometimes when you begin to think about this and begin to study it, it doesn't seem real to you, but if you'll keep believing it and reading it, it will become a reality in your life. And there's a little book out there in the bookstore that my dad put together called In Him, In Christ, has already had, you don't even have to go look the scriptures up. It has a lot of them already listed there. You don't even have to go look for them. They're right there. Now, look at Luke 6:45. I want to deal with something here for a minute. A good man or a good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil person out of the evil treasures of their heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart he speaks, or she speaks. I want you to notice that here it says that we are designed to speak out of the abundance of our heart. Now, here I'm not talking about the physical heart that beats. I'm talking about the person on the inside, the real you on the inside. The abundance of the heart, it doesn't say a little or just enough to get by. It says abundance. Now, abundance, a surplus, a superabundant, over and above. That's what abundance is. When you have the word in you, then you can speak out of the abundance of your heart because you have the word, you believe the word, and it comes out your mouth. Now, let's do a little exercise. When you first heard the multiplication table, it was hard to come up with the right answers. But after you had heard it over and over and over again and read it over and over again, out of the abundance of your hearing and studying, the multiplication table became easy. It became so much a part of you that even today, 25, 50, what is for me, 58, 1958, graduated from high school, so it's been a whole bunch of years, 50-something years. I can now just say, if somebody says, 6 times 6, 36, just like that. 9 times 9. You didn't even think about it. It was a part of you. When you get a hold of this and it becomes a part of you, then you can begin, when the devil comes against you, you automatically have the answer coming, bam, just like that. Because it's coming out of the overflow of your heart, of the abundance of your heart. You know, the New Living says, whatever's in your heart determines what you say. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13, this is not anything most of you hadn't heard, but you need to be reminded of it. And then remember, we got new people coming in all the time that's not at the same level that you are. Hello. And it don't hurt you to hear it over again either. How many of you ever heard my father preach? How many times did he preach on Mark 11, 23 and 24 that you've heard him? Huh? A whole bunch of times. But you know what? You have listened to it either by personally years ago, of course he's been gone 20 years now, or by tape, or by CD, or whatever, until what he was talking about has become a part of you. And you immediately will begin to say, hey, I believe in my heart, and I'm speaking to you, whatever the situation is, and it has to go, right? We have got to get this same type of situation when we're talking about the realities of who we are in Christ. When you talk about the basic principles of faith, you have heard them and heard them and heard them and heard them until they are a part of you today, just like the multiplication table is. Now, when you begin confessing with your mouth your true spiritual identity, then something begins to happen. You know, like I said, you can know the scriptures, but if you don't speak them out, they don't work for you. You must continually say who you are in Christ. You see, the thing about this is that it only becomes a reality when you actually believe it and speak it. In that little book in him, my father says on page 9, as far as God is concerned, everything you have are in Christ is so. He has done it. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it's your believing and confessing it which makes it a reality to you. So you must maintain a daily confession of your identification in Christ for it to become a reality in your life. Speaking who you are in Christ will change some things. Yes. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The NLT says it like this, the tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, what you say is what's going to happen. Your words have the power to bring something into existence. When you speak the word of God, it releases the power of God to bring everything that you are believing and saying into the reality in your life. Now, we know this concerning faith. We've heard it so much, but that's just a part of it. But we need to have the same type of reality and the same type of confession when it comes to confessing who we are in Christ. We need to begin to make bold confessions of who you are in Christ. This is where a lot of people miss it. They confess the Lord as Savior of their life, and then they go on and they learn how to believe God for their healing. They learn how to believe God for their finances, believe God for this, believe God for that. But they are spiritually weak because they have not fully begun to understand and confess who they are in Christ. And what they have in Christ, and what they can do because they're in Christ. All of this comes back to being in Christ. You're in Christ the minute you are born again. You become in Christ. Right? Now, a bold confession in Christ will empower you to walk in victory, to walk in the blessings of God, to receive all of what the promises that God says. See, no, you gotta get to the point. No weapon formed against me will prosper because I'm in Christ. How many understand where I'm coming from this morning? I know I'm reminding a lot of you, but some people, they've heard this, but they've never really begun to put it into action in their lives. Find Christ, the in Christ scriptures in the Word of God. Go get that little book back there, and it's got a bunch of them already in it for you, and then it's got a bunch of references that you can go look up. And it's in Christ, in whom, in Him, all of those scriptures talking about. So they're all talking about who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do because we're in Christ. You know, you're an overcomer because of who you're in Christ. And the Bible talks about, you know, that Paul says it like this: in Him I move and live and have my being. In Him. See, we got to learn to begin. Hey, everything we do is because we're in Christ. The reality of it. You see, the In Him scriptures need to be something that you talk about daily. There's a whole list of them. You don't have to do them all, but you need to do at least one or two every day. The one you need to really do is, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's one you need to get up and say that every morning. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. You're letting the enemy know that you know who you are. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, you see, you're letting the enemy know who you are. Hey, you know, Denise was about, Pastor Denise, she was about 4 or 5 years old, and she was running down the hall toward her pawpaw's office, my dad, Kenneth Hagin. And somebody said, little girl, you can't run in the hall. And she whirled around and looked at him and said, do you know who I am? And come off running. See, she knew who she was. She knew that her pawpaw, her name was Hagin, and her pawpaw's name was Hagin, and he was the head of this place, and she knew who she was. When the devil comes around, you got to say, Mr. Devil, you know who I am? I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. What are you doing telling me what to do? You don't have any right. You don't have any authority. See, we talk about the believer's authority, but if you really begin to look at it, you don't understand the believer's authority till you understand who your redemptive realities, who you are in Christ. They all operate because of who you are in Christ. You know, you got to say, you got to begin to use the I am. I am. When you begin, hey, remember when Moses said, who sent me? You tell him. God told him, tell him I am did. And then if you go over there in John's gospel and you'll begin to read and Jesus said, I am the door. I am, I am, I am, I am. Anybody ever read that over there? You know what? We need to begin to say, I am. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a blood-bought child of God. I'm justified by the blood of Jesus. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. I'm an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I always triumphed in Christ. I have victory through my Lord Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. There's some I am's right there. That's what we need to get a hold of. That's the things that will keep us going. That's the things that will open the door for us. That's the things that when you begin to make statements like that, that makes the devil begin to tremble in his boots because he knows you know who you are in Christ, and Christ is the one that defeated him. Hello? And we are alive and well because we are in Christ. I am. I am. Say it. I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I always triumphed in Christ. I can do everything in Christ. I am. See, man, the confession of these realities will turn your life around. That confession will enable you to walk in your spiritual identity, who you are in Christ, and it will bring you to the point that when you start referring with the I am, you're telling the devil, I am, that's me, the person. I can, that's me, because of God. I have, because of what I have in Christ. I have the possession. I like the word of God. I like what God says. I remember the past, and it says God did it here. He'll do it again and again and again and again because he never changes. Everything around us in the natural would change, but in the spiritual, nothing ever changes. We are the same. Stand up, I am. Say it, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this morning? Some of you have heard some stuff you haven't heard before. The rest of you, it should have stirred you up all over again. Got you stirred up all over again. You know, sometimes we need, you know, Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. Stir it up. We need to stir up everything ever so often. Sometimes we get to listen to this and listen to that, and we just need to go and stir it up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, in some of the oil and dressing and stuff, it'll settle and then it separates. See, you sometimes you get to going and life's happening and things are going on and things start settling down. You need to stir that up. I am. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Heavenly Father, just try to remind these people for a few moments today of who they are in Christ and what they have because of what you did for us at Calvary. I thank you, Father, for it. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, well, if you want to get in on what I was talking about, you got to know him first. Or you may be here and you may say, I know what it is to serve Christ, but I sort of detoured and got off course, and I need to come back and rededicate my life to God. If there's anybody on any one of those, would you lift your hand? I would like to pray with you, but I can't pray with you if I don't know who you are. So anywhere in the building, you need Christ, you need to rededicate your life, anybody, anywhere. Let me see your hand. There's one coming already, coming forward. Hallelujah. If you wanted to raise your hand or should have raised your hand, like he's come already, I want you to step out in the aisle and come down here and I'll pray with you right now and you won't leave here like you came. If you need to come, come on now. If you need to come down here, come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. God bless you. God bless you. Come on right now. Anybody else want to come? You need to come down here. Rededicate your life. You need to get Jesus back into your life. Or you need him for the first time. Anybody. Come on now. I'm waiting on you. Come on. I'm waiting on you. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Come on now. This is your chance. Miss out on the opportunity to change your life forever. I'm waiting on you. Come on. I'm waiting on you. Come on. God bless you, man. Stand right here and just face me. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. Bless you. Hallelujah. Anybody else want to come? Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your time to change your life forever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else coming? Come on. Here they're standing here for me right here, right now. Look my direction. I got three books. In my new birth, talking about who you are in Christ. And that little book in him that I've just been preaching about. And then a book, Quiet Tongues, talking about the Holy Spirit. Okay. If I'm going to give these to you and I put them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? Somebody said, you got them. Hey, y'all all going to get them same three books in a minute. That's the exercise I do. I can give you a book, but the thing you come down here for is a spiritual thing. It comes from heaven on high. So I'm going to pray with you. I want you to raise one hand toward heaven. I don't care which one it is. Congregation, reach your hands and you pray for them as I pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each one of these that have come today. Each one will receive the spiritual need in their life met today. Salvation, rededication. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go to a special place of prayer where you can get them three books. And be prayed with individually and in depth. See Pastor Greg right there. Would you follow him to that place of prayer right now? Just follow him. Go right now. Give him a hand as they go. Thank God for them. Hallelujah. They just made the best decision of their life. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.